welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
Now, I don't know who can preach after all that. We thank God for the giftedness of this young lady and this drummer. Give God praise for them. We praise God for them, and we thank God for their ministry in music and for how they've allowed themselves to let the Spirit of God take their gifts and magnify them in the midst of this place during this moment of the pandemic. We give honor to God because of the legacy of the Church of the Redeemer and the life that it has expressed within this community, and how you have sought to be a light on a corner, and how God has just moved you to be ambassadors for his kingdom. And we also want to thank God for this man of God that stands in this pulpit right now as the acting pastor, as the leader and the advisor to this church, Reverend Pastor Craig Campbell. He is truly my brother and my friend. And let me just say this to all of you, that I may have mentored him, but I could never preach like him. And when I grow up and get to heaven, I'm going to ask God why he didn't give me the same kind of preaching and singing gift. But we thank God for his ministry, his love for the work of God, his love for the people of God. That was one of the things that touched my heart when I met him, was the deep, passionate sense of love that he had for God's people, and then expressed it and exposed it in my own life. And though the Lord gave me the chance to be influential in his, it was through him that I broke a barrier of bitterness in my life that had existed for 4 years. And so I'm forever thankful for him being in my life. And he had the honesty and the integrity to confront me with things that I struggled with. And God used him to set me free. Tonight, I just want to get to the Word of God, and we will share with you and get out of the way. We're coming from the book of 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings chapter 17. And in that passage of Scripture, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, meaning Elijah, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathered two sticks, that I may go and prepare it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me of it a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and afterwards make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not be used up, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat for many days. And the barrel of meal was not used up, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke to Elijah." Let's pray. Father, bless now your word and bless your people as they seek to hear your truth. And bless me as your preacher, that God, I would truly be instrumental in touching hearts through what you have shared with me, Let me be a conduit and a channel of your spirit, that lives might be renovated, transformed, and renewed, and that hearts might experience hope in the midst of a dismal moment, and that, God, they might see that there is still a work to do in the land of the living. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Tonight I want to talk to you very briefly about this subject, faith in the strangest places. Faith in the strangest of places. Faith in the strangest of places. We want to thank God for what God reveals to us in His Word. First thing, when dealing with God, one can expect that God will do something that deviates from the norm. The Bible clearly confirms and lays on our hearts and reminds us that God is strange, and strange is part of God's ways. As a matter of fact, when we talk about strange, what we mean with reference to God is that God does things that seemingly are bizarre, outlandish, and peculiar, and are unaccustomed to what we would naturally think would be the key to him achieving his purposes. He goes out of his way to grab the oddball and the unusual to let us know that it is his hand that is involved in working of a miracle rather than the hand of man. Let's just look back over history, church, because how many of us would have even in any way have thought that God would have taken a slave girl and moved her to use and engineer a raft that would deliver the deliverer called Moses? Which one of us would have ever thought that God would have called somebody, and namely a whole nation, to walk around the walls of Jericho seven times, and then on the seventh time to make a shout, and then all of a sudden the walls would come crumbling down? Who would have thought that God would have called David to use three stones to knock down the terror of Israel? Which one of you would have ever thought that God would have brought a virgin into the world to bring forth his only begotten son? You've got to understand that God does what we often call the bizarre thing to make it very clear that his hand is involved. You've got to understand that God is not involved in you getting glory, but in him getting glory for himself through the usage of the human instrument. God has a way of taking the outlandish and shocking each of us with his power to change a situation. How many of you in here tonight can say, and how many of you under the sound of my voice can say that you can look back over your experience and see where God has moved in a mighty way, where he's moved mountains that you thought couldn't be moved, where he's opened doors that you thought were shut, where he's provided when you thought you had nothing? God has a way of doing it in the, whether we pray or along with our prayers.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The text brings us to a unique moment in Israel's history. God had sent a famine in the land, and it was as a result of the prayers of Elijah. Elijah was a man who understood who God was. But Elijah was a man who came to the place of believing God's word even greater than some of us would have ever experienced, because Elijah recognized what God had said, which was this, that if Israel would turn away from me, then here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to judge the land. I'm going to close up the heavens, that the heavens would become as steel. I'm going to shut it so that no rain comes, so that the crops don't bear, so that the animals don't come around and can be slaughtered. I'm going to shut things down. Well, Elijah took God at his word, and recognizing that Israel was in need of a revival, Elijah said, God, close the rain. Stop it from coming. We need to end this thing, because God, something phenomenal has to happen in order to bring this to pass, that you would revive your people now. And we need to just stop right here. God is a prayer answering God. You've got to understand that in order for the prayer to be answered, you ought to be lining up with his word. And that's what Elijah did, was he lined up with the word of God, and he wasn't just going to pray any old kind of prayer. You see, it's not, we get into praying what we feel. We get into praying what we think. We get into praying what we want. But we better learn how to line up with the word of God if we want to hear God give us an answer. You got to understand, most of our prayers are unanswered. answer not because we don't believe, but because our hearts are not where God's heart is. You see, the second thing you've got to do is get to where God's heart is, where you are then speaking the words, not my will, but thy will be done. That is God's heart. You got to get your right heart with God. And then when you get your heart right with God, then your prayers will get right. And then you will begin to see God do what God only can do. He answers prayer. Right now, people are praying for the end of this pandemic. People are asking God to move in a mighty way to stop the move of coronavirus. But let me help you, church. God is at work dealing not only with the United States, but with our entire world to let us know that he still is seated on the throne, and the church itself has to come to a place of deep repentance because of its failure to represent God as we ought to, so that God will hear our prayers. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The only thing about Elijah's prayer is that when he prayed, y'all, he didn't have a safety plan. There was nothing selfish about Elijah's praying. As a matter of fact, his attitude was that if he had to die in order to bring revival, he was willing to lose his life. And it's interesting what God did when he, through the prayer, God sent him to a brook. And there, God changed the atmosphere because he took ravens that usually eat carrion and eat dead things to bring food to his servant. You see, here's what happens when we line up with God's will. It doesn't mean that life is going to be easy, but what it does mean is that God is going to show you that he can make a way out of no way. That's, you see, when we line up with God's will in the midst of the difficult moments, what God is asking us to do is to walk by faith and not by sight. When we line up with God's will in the midst of the troubles, God wants us to have a faith that said, if God be for me, who can be against me? God's asking us to trust him. He's just waiting for us to come to the end of ourselves, where we then begin to look and recognize that he is the owner of a cattle on a thousand hills. He wants us to come to the end of ourselves where we are fully vested in him bringing our survival. He wants us to come to a total abandonment, and then the Lord will show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him. God is solely in charge, but God is concerned that his people would line up with him. And as it is with our God, he does the strangest things and shows up in the strangest ways. Listen here, y'all. Not only did he allow the ravens to change their normal appetite in order to feed the prophet, but look what God did the next step. He said, listen, Elijah, I'm drying up the brook. I'm stopping the ravens, but what I want you to do in order for your survival, I'm sending you to a widow in Zarephath. What I'm doing is I'm actually moving you out of the land of Israel. I'm taking you to Sidon, and I'm taking you to where heathens actually exist. And there, when you get there, you're going to ultimately encounter a woman who is a widow, and I'm going to use that woman to take care of your well-being. Y'all know God is strange, isn't he? God is a bizarre God, isn't he? He's an outlandish God, isn't he? He does a strange work, doesn't he? You see, he took Elijah away from those that were to receive a prophetic announcement to people that didn't even want to receive the prophet.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Strange,
yes, sir,
kind of God.
Yes, sir.
He is. And when he got there, the first thing he did was ask the woman, give me something to drink. And that was fine. We can find a little bit of water. But then what he does is he steps and he says, hold on, I'm going to cross the line. I'm going to ask you to give me a little something to eat, because he could already see what she was doing. She was gathering the sticks in order to prepare something to eat. And then she goes on in her reluctant way. When he says, give me something to eat, she says, hold on. Listen, you got to understand, Elijah, I'm just getting stuff together and preparing this meal so that me and my son can eat eat and that we will die. You see, she was a widow with a child. But here's what happens when God is at work. When God's at work, God will provide for you in places that you've never expected. God will bring you friends and out of those who once were your enemies. God will make your enemy your footstool. God will open up doors and provide your needs in such a way that when you thought that you were down and out, God will raise you up and give you victory. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I've watched folk try to destroy me in my 59 years. But listen here, God knows how to rebuild you right in the midst of those that are trying to tear you down. But here's what you've got to have. You've got to have a sacrificial faith. And this is what this woman showed. She was real willing to sacrifice all for her son. But then God gave her a sacrificial faith ultimately where she was willing to sacrifice for the prophet. Let me just say something about this lady. She was a real mother. See, there are birth mamas, yes, sir. And then there are real mamas. And you see, real mamas are the kind of mamas that will give their life for their children. Real mamas will do whatever it takes to provide the best that their children can get. Real mamas will learn that they need to trust God with their children and prove to them that God says he is all that he said he would be. A real mama will argue and let you know that God is a provider. A real mama will argue and let you know that God is a keeper. A real mama will shout and say God is a savior. A real mama will shout and holler God is a deliverer. Even when they can't see where the deliverance is coming from, because a real mama has a faith in the living God. The question here is not whether there's some real mamas out there only, but the real question is much broader. Are there some real believers that learn the value of sacrifice like this woman's sacrifice? Is there anybody listening to my voice that's willing to say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain? Is there anybody out here that's willing to say, I'm willing to take up my cross and proclaim where he leads me, I'm going to follow? Is there anybody out there that, like Esther said, that if I perish, I perish, but I'm going to see the king? That's what a real believer does. They're willing to sacrifice all. I remember the disciples in John chapter 6. They turned to Jesus and said to the Lord, we've left all to follow you. If you want a revival in the land, church, if you really want God to do something, if you want his anointing, his filling, his blessing, then guess what you've got to do? You've got to have the sacrificial faith that says that I'm going to leave all in order to follow God. The rules and the decisions and the choices that God is established are still the same now as they were then.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, preacher.
This woman,
yes, sir,
had no future, no savings, no provisions, and no earthly hope in the midst of this famine that took the lives of so many others. The bread that she ate wasn't Stroman's. The material instincts that she had were probably groaning in her every time she thought about the fact that she was preparing something for the prophet rather than her son, because she was not without natural affection. Nothing in this situation made sense to her, because in all honesty, we always think of taking care of home first. Isn't that right? I'm going to take care of me and mine. But God did something in this woman's life that changed and renovated her heart and said, I'm going to give you a different kind of sense. I'm going to give you some good sense, and I'm going to move you to do what I'm calling you to do, which this woman had good sense enough to believe that God was going to make a way out of no way. She had good sense enough to trust that God had more ways than one to meet her needs. She had good sense enough to believe that God had brought Elijah to touch her life and to do something unusual. Good sense,
yes, sir,
is faith in action.
Yes, sir.
Faith that holds on to God when you can't see your way through.
Yes, sir.
Good sense is faith that becomes the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We need believers that have some good sense. We need some believers that will step out in faith and recognize that God is still an able God. He's still seated on the throne, church. This woman also had what we call a saving faith. Not only did she have a sacrificial faith and some good sense, but she also had a saving faith. You see, God took notice of her saving faith. And when a woman, when women and men in Israel would not believe God, God had a ram in the bush. When they were seeking the life of the prophet, God had a ram in the bush. When Jezebel wanted to kill, God had a ram in the bush.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
This woman at Zarephath, yes, sir, was the woman that was the ram in the bush. When God seemed at a distance, her saving faith stepped up and reminded her that the season that God is a God that will never leave you nor forsake you. She may not know it like we knew it, but you know how we sing, yes, God is real. He's real in my soul. Something happened in her soul to say God was going to make a way out of no way. Y'all heard that before, haven't you? And so she went on to do what God called her to do. And in this season of the pandemic, we need some church folk that will show up and show out and show the world that they can rely on God and that he is a very present help in the time of trouble. We need a church that says no matter what happens in this world, I'm going to stand for God. I'm going to die for God. I'm going to walk for God. I'm going to work for God. I'm going to trust God and never doubt. Too many of us are incarcerated in the here and now. Not only are we in bondage to the sin of discouragement, but we are living often in the wasteland of what I call demonic deceit. The God of this world has sought to blind our minds to the God that we serve by seducing us to adopt a spirit of fear by listening to all the voices on television, on the radio, and on all other forms of media. We've got a president that's a master at inducing fear. And he has, and here's what the enemy has done. He has inundated us with our sense of peril and with the problems of the day, that the forces and the people who are speaking almost become demigods in our life. Their conversation becomes our spiritual diet that has no eternal reward. It literally puts us in death before we actually get there. But what happens is the supernatural gets pushed aside for the earthly concerns. The heavenly vision gets usurped by our earthly paradise. The divine fire in our hearts is doused by the drippings of life rather than the immediate satisfaction that so many of us want. Church, if you want a real revival, then you've got to start living like you've got a saving faith.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What am I saying to you as I come towards my conclusion? What I'm saying to you, church, is that if you are one that says you've got faith, then let me help you here. You better believe in God when you are tempted to doubt. If you are one that really wants revival, you better stand up when you're ready to sit down. If you are one that trusts God, you better move forward when you are prepared to turn around. You better dig in when you'd rather throw in the towel. You better part spaces with those that are unbelievers and trust God with those that are believers. You better keep moving forward instead of moving backward. You better run the race that is set before you, because it is in the process and in the act of running that you show God that you trust him with all of your heart, with all of your soul,
yes, sir,
with all of your mind,
yes, sir,
and with all of your might. You've got to keep pressing on, because let me tell you, as you learn how to trust God, I want to help you, church, to understand this, that God will fix a platter in the presence of your enemies. That when you trust God, you can come to him with your fears, but God will give you his peace. You can come to him with your weaknesses, but in your weaknesses, he'll prove that he's strong. You can come to him with your poverty, but in your poverty, he will enrich you. You can come to him with your sense of worthlessness, but God will show you have value. And the reason why is because God's mark is upon you. You see, because God said that he called you not only to be in his family, but he called you to be part of his flock. Not only to be part of his flock, but he called you to be part of his priesthood that stands in the stead so that there is a wall against the enemy's onslaught in this world. You are God's salt. You are God's light. You are God's representative. So I'm challenging you today,
yes, sir,
to be a church,
yes, sir,
that in seeking revival lives by faith in the Son of God,
yes,
who loved us and gave himself for us. And if he gave himself for us, then let me help you. You ought to give yourself for him. If he turned his life over for you, you ought to turn your life over for him. And the words in your mouth ought to be, not I that live, but the Christ that lives in me, that I'm crucified with Christ, and that I've turned my life over. I'm carrying my cross. I'm going up the King's Highway. I'm shouting for God, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what I see, I will trust in the Lord until I die. And then you will experience the true anointing of God. It is in your abandonment and your choice to walk with God despite what you see, that God then steps in and is at that point willing to show you that he is strong on the behalf of those whose hearts trust and are perfect toward him. Because in God is everlasting strength. I know that the times are dismal. People have lost their jobs. There are those whose unemployment has run out. But I want to remind you tonight that all God is doing, he is taking the various situations of your life and he is shaping you through the circumstances. And he wants you to stand up and show out and let the world know that you serve a risen Savior who is not dead but is alive, who is not in the grave but is seated on the throne, who is not sleeping or slumbering but is watching over me. You are, his eye is on the sparrow and you are the object of his love. Just trust him in this age, in this moment, and in the trust, God will show you that you can have joy in your midnight seasons. You can have a clap when tears are running from your eyes. You can have a stomp in your foot when it seems like you're all alone. You can sit there and think and not dream, but recognize that the reality is bigger than the reality, that there is a God that holds you in the very palm of his hands. Let us pray. Father, thank you. Thank you tonight, God, for your word. Help us, oh God, to be even as this woman at Zarephath, who was willing to trust you by sacrificing all at the promise of your word. When Elijah let her know that it would not run out, God, you let her know that you would prepare a table for her in the presence of all those that were around that forsook her. When Elijah let her know that it would last until the end of the famine, you touched her life, God, and showed her that you are the God that is the owner of a cattle on a thousand hills. And tonight, God, somebody out there is looking for you to show up and show out and show off, God. Somebody out there is looking tonight, asking you to move in the mountains in their life. Somebody tonight is out there asking you, God, that they don't know which way to go. They need direction from you, Lord. And Father, I'm asking you tonight to step right into their situation and show them that you are alive and well on planet Earth, but also in their souls. We thank you tonight, God. You tell us to run and not faint, but to walk by faith and not by sight. Give your children the faith that enables them to press on in the midst of this moment of our separation, of our social distancing, to see what the end is going to be. And that when we all come back together, we will appreciate the Church of the Living God as you have given it to us. Save somebody tonight if they don't know Jesus. Let them know in their hearts tonight that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man can come unto you but by him. Save, deliver, strengthen tonight. Do only what you can do in the name of your matchless and wonderful and magnificent Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
If you will only trust me, trust me, trust me.
There may be somebody on the phone. There may be somebody watching us that don't know Jesus Christ and the pardon of their sins. Tonight is your opportunity. You saying, but Reverend Campbell, you're there and I'm here. Well, that don't have anything to do with it. All you got to do is just wherever you are. The preacher just said faith in the strangest places. Whether you're in your car, whether in your living room or your bedroom, maybe you might be out in the park. Wherever you are right now in the name of Jesus, all you have to do is just confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, salvation is yours. And then after you do that, all you got to do is just call one of us and say, hey, Reb, I heard what you said. I can profess my faith. Does that mean that I'm saved? Yes, that does mean you say. Now we just need you to come in from the outside into the inside. If that's you, the preacher has preached. Is there one? As she continues to sing.
I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. I'll never leave you. If you trust me, trust me, trust me. I'll fight your battle. I'll fight your
thank Reverend Nathaniel Mason for that word. Did he preach? Did he embarrass me? No, I knew he wouldn't. I knew he wouldn't. I'm just excited that he had an opportunity to come and share what's been bubbling up in his heart. I'm excited about what God is doing in the midst of where we are. And I pray that we will continue to have a great, great revival. Last night it was enlarged in hard places. Tonight it was faith in the strangest places. And you look at how God used these individuals. They had the same basic concept of what God has given them. And we should be excited. And tomorrow night we're going to have our own, another one of my friends, Reverend Dr. John Dawkins, he's going to come and he's going to share with us what God has given him to share. But I'm excited because God knows what we need. And I'm so glad that our chairman thought it not robbery when it was brought to his attention that we need to be revived. And he thought it not robbery to make sure that we have something in place just before we get ready to celebrate our church anniversary, which will be the first week in October. So I'm excited and I'm grateful. So we look for you tomorrow night. Thank you for all that you do. I'm excited. Now we can stand for our benediction. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another, that you with one mind and one voice glorify God, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, you are truly our great Redeemer. Go in peace, my brothers and sisters, as we leave on a song. Go ahead, Minister Tamika.